Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Leveler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Supervisor Ed Romaine, also candidate for Suffolk County Executive. And I know it's very busy. It's a very busy time out there. And I really appreciate you taking some time to speak with us this morning.
Thank you for having me as your guest. I really appreciate it. I always listen to you on the radio.
Yes.
And always interesting, always topics that I'm concerned about. Long-time county employee before I went to work for the town. So I listen with great interest for what my fellow county employees were doing.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, it's something that you're very familiar with. You know, your experience there, your time as a legislator really gave you great connections across county government, understanding of how the departments work, how they should work, you know, what works, what doesn't work, who to call, you know, and you know, I mean, really speaks to one of the reasons why AME got behind you and endorsed you for this race, your ability to get things done with a diverse group of people from both sides of the aisle and achieving the results that you set out
and advocating for issues that are important to your members.
Absolutely.
And I married an AME worker.
Yeah.
Who unfortunately, when the John J. Foley nursing home closed, retired as a result of that.
Right. Yeah. And listen, you know, I mean, there's been a number of things that have happened over the past 10 or so years that really need to be addressed. And it's conversations that you and I have had. And, you know, you've shown yourself to be a man of your word. I mean, I see you out on the campaign trail and talking about the issues and the things that you understand. You've brought up positions in county government, you know, things like having funded unfilled positions on the detective squad and how that affects crime. And we could look across all of the departments across Suffolk County and see that there are staffing issues that need to be addressed.
I have 11 years as town supervisor, and I've put together 11 budgets now. Every position we put in the budget gets filled.
Yeah.
And if it becomes vacant, we fill it because we put it in the budget, and we're taxing people for that.
Right.
I cannot believe, and this goes back, 10, 15 years, where the county doesn't have what I would call an honest budget or a transparent budget, where they put jobs in, the legislature approves, taxes people based on that budget, and then doesn't fill positions and leaves them vacant. And they've used that in the beginning a little bit and now a lot. When you have 51 detective positions vacant, and the detectives are not unlike any other department in county government, and people say, you know, Ed, we just don't have enough custodians. The buildings are falling apart.
You don't.
I mean, I can tell you this now, and I have people that talk to me all the time about this. And I'm saying, what's happening with that money? If we're being taxed for it, if we're paying taxes for this and it's not being filled, what is being done with that money?
You're right.
And I'm raising a lot of questions.
Sure.
Look, the one thing that you will see, this budget that's for 24 is being put together by Mr. Ballone. He submitted about 3 weeks late, but we have a budget now that we can look at. What's ever in that budget, that's what you're taxing people on.
Right.
Those positions should be filled. Those services should be provided.
Yes.
And if they're not, what are you doing with the money? You should not play games with that. Yeah. A budget should be an honest budget, not a dishonest budget. Mm-hmm. It should be transparent, and people should know I'm paying taxes because I'm getting these services, I'm getting these jobs filled. But I know there's so many of the jobs, like in Child Protective Services. The caseload was far in excess of what state recommendations.
Yeah.
That's true in the social services.
Yeah.
That's true with a whole host of things.
Yeah.
And then people complain about the health department in terms of getting permits processed. Well, you have to staff.
Right.
You have to have staff. You have to have leadership. So I become lucky enough to become county executive. What's ever in that budget, we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
And if for some reason you have a bloated budget, we will reduce that. But if it's in the budget should be transparent. The position should be filled. That's as simple as I can make it. I do that in Brookhaven Town. I'm going to do that in Suffolk County, should I be elected.
Absolutely. You know, and just talking a little bit more on the budget, a couple of thoughts, and I've brought these issues up before in various years when we look at the budget. You know, you had mentioned one thing, having maintenance personnel, having enough people to take care of the buildings. And I've made the argument, listen, it's not just the morale of the people who do that job, and they can't keep up with their workload and how bad that must feel for them. It's also the people that work in those buildings and how it must feel for them coming and seeing the grass 4 feet high and different things broken around the building and not being maintained. But it's also the morale of the taxpayers. And you say, okay, well, my tax burden is X, and I walk into a building and the grass is 4 feet high and, you know, this you know, coffee on the floor or whatever, you know, all of these different
things.
I'll
give you a perfect example. Yeah. We have a district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ray Tierney.
Yeah.
He's a good man. He does a lot of great things.
Yeah.
We sat down. You know what he talked about? How the windows leak in his office.
They do.
Like, what?
They do.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I run a very large building.
Mm-hmm.
You come into the Brookhaven Town Hall. It is more or less spotless because we have a staff that makes sure
right.
that it is.
Right.
The county has not kept up on its maintenance, has not kept up on its infrastructure
yeah.
of its buildings. They tell me the Denison Building, which was built in 1970, is falling apart.
It is.
And I'm going to take a very careful look.
Yeah.
And what I may do is schedule a study of all county buildings to get a feel of these are our assets.
Right.
What condition are they in?
Yeah.
And
so public
make the
assets.
Investment into
yeah.
our assets
yeah.
that we need to make to maintain them.
Right.
It's like you and I have a house. If we don't cut our grass, if we don't fix the leaks in our plumbing,
mm-hmm.
if we don't do the basic maintenance over years, that house becomes worth less.
Right.
There's a feeling for some people, they say, you know, Ed, the best thing you could do is empty the Denison Building and renovate it from top to bottom.
Right.
And I said, okay, I'll take a look at that. Maybe we buy another building like Computer Associate Building, which
right.
is vacant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we move in mm-hmm. and we renovate the Denison Building and we do that.
Yeah.
Because I believe this administration sold the Denison Building and then leased it back,
yeah.
which was a financial gimmick.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to rely on financial gimmicks.
Right.
We should rely on straightforward budgeting and dealing with things. And we should provide enough staff to maintain all of our buildings
yeah.
and our infrastructure.
Right.
Same is true with DPW, maintaining our roads, our drainage systems, our sewage. We run 26 sewage treatment plants.
Mm-hmm.
Soon to be more.
Sure.
And I'm hoping for more where the county gets more deeply involved in sewage. We walked away from sewage after the scandals in the Southwest Sewer District in the 70s.
Let's do it right.
We need to take a regional approach to sewage,
yeah.
and the county needs to be involved in that.
I agree. You know, and you talk about, you know, just again, just touching back on that maintenance point, what you see is because you don't have enough maintenance personnel and things are breaking, you see the increase in the capital budget every year. So what people look at in terms of budgeting right now is, you know, the proposed operating budget for next year, but the capital budget is all the improvements that need to be made. And you see that expanding and expanding. And that usually gets less press coverage and people don't think so much about it. But having the maintenance personnel on hand and doing the job means you don't have to spend to build things that would otherwise not have broken.
I think we all know that.
Yeah.
And I think there's been some short-sighted views in terms of investing in our infrastructure and our assets that we haven't done in county government that we need to do to maintain these assets, which will lose value if we don't maintain them. I just mentioned the Denison Building.
Yeah.
We may have to do a total redo of the Denison Building.
Mm-hmm.
We may have to move people out of there.
Yeah.
To do a total redo. And that's something that I'm going to take a look at. There's a lot of things you've got to take a look at, not only the assets. The best asset that the county has is not its buildings, it's its people.
People.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you want to do as an employer, this is true in the private sector, in the public sector, you want to make sure that you fairly compensate people for the work they do. And you and I have had a discussion
sure.
about this, and I said I would work with AME on taking a look at a salary study.
It's long overdue.
Yeah, because different people do different work, but they're comparable in some ways, and yet they're making a disparate amount of money. Some make more, some make less, and you wonder, wow. And it's not only a question of a living wage, because it's so hard to live on this island.
Right.
It's very
right.
expensive now.
Right.
But it's making sure that people are fairly compensated.
Right.
That That's critical.
Self-sustainable. You want them to be able to come and work for the government and not have to then apply for the services that government's mandated to provide to people who don't make enough.
Absolutely. I want to make your job a little easier because I'm going to make you work a little bit in 2024 when your contract is up and negotiated.
Yeah.
But in our town, when the contracts were up, we sat and negotiated with our three unions, the blue collar, the white collar, and the highway. And we got 12-year contracts.
Yeah.
That makes it easy for the union's leaders because you lock it in for a long term. People know what they're going to get. And you spent a little time with the negotiations. We actually did the highway before the pandemic in January of 2020.
Right.
And then the other two came after the pandemic. They got slightly more. And we went back. We didn't reopen the contract, but we gave extra benefits to highway because we felt that these unions should be on parity with one another.
Absolutely.
It's a issue of fairness.
Yeah.
You don't want to be an employer whose employees say you didn't treat us fairly, you didn't deal with us fairly, whatever. And I think the most important thing you can do, and we have multiple contracts up in 2024. But the most important thing that you can do is treat the people that work for the county fairly so they take pride in their work.
Yeah.
They feel that you know the type of jobs they're doing, you're going to fairly compensate them. And that is what you really should do.
I'm going to tell you, my take on this is I think every resident in Suffolk County is going to have a sigh of relief. When you have the right amount of people, the right-sized government taking care of the issues so that the taxpayer is getting what they're charged for, they're able to get things done inside of government, I think that's going to have a huge positive effect on the everyday person. And then the workforce, to know that they don't have to do the job of two people, work all these crazy extra hours just to meet a deadline because there aren't enough people to get things done, to know that they've got coworkers, and then to be considered fairly compensated on top of that. I mean, the morale inside of government right now is abysmal, and I think this is going to go a long way to fixing the morale inside of government, which will then have that the trickle-down effect of the everyday residents seeing what their tax dollars are being used for.
And knowing that government can respond to the issues. Look at the detectives alone. I mentioned them because that's one of the more egregious situations where you have 51 positions that we're paying for that remain unfilled when we have major crimes that need the investigative work to bring people to justice and make sure there's consequences for bad actions.
Yeah. Listen, my take on this, and, you know, we have members that are in the police department, but there are various unions that are in the police department. My understanding is today we have the staffing levels at the police department that we had in 1960, and the population has more than doubled. How do you keep up with all of that work? And that's
you don't. And let me talk about AME members in the police department.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work for the police. They're represented by AME.
Yes.
These are 911 operators.
They absolutely are.
You tell me what the staffing is for 911 operators. You remember how they were mandatory overtime in some cases because they didn't have
still
enough.
Are.
And
you
that
still
doesn't
are.
Work. That burns people out after a while. You have to, you know what the demand is. You should meet the demand and you should run a government.
Yeah.
If a government isn't meeting its obligations to the public, and think about 911 operators.
Yeah.
That's almost as basic as detectives.
But the emotional toll that these people go through, you know?
And then to survive the hack.
Yeah.
Where they could not communicate with the patrol cars except by radio because the computers didn't work.
We had people physically carrying notes from one desk to another because there was...
What does that say?
Yeah.
I mean, and I can tell you, look, my town has been fortunate. We haven't been hacked. Our computer systems work. Our data center's in the cloud. The county's is not. In my town, not only is our data center in the cloud, but we have cybersecurity insurance, and we do periodic testing to strengthen our systems, which the county really hasn't done enough of. Whoever the next county executive, it's going to have so much on their plate.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a huge job. It's going to be talking about restructuring county government. It's being taking a look at your workforce. And right now we've got over 10,000 people that work for the county of government, about 7,000, 8,000 of which you represent with AME, which is the largest independent public employees union in the state of New York, which says something.
Yeah.
But it's strong, and I remember when it started.
Yeah,
and it wasn't by a county worker.
No, it wasn't.
It was by a town highway worker, Charlie Novo. Charlie, do you remember Charlie?
Yeah, yeah. Huh?
Charlie used to live in Farmingville. I knew Charlie.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how far, because I think you got founded in 1983.
84 was the
technical. I remember him starting
filing,
in 83.
Yeah. Huh?
So you're looking now at 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
In which you've led the employees of this county, and this union has argued with them. And we've had some county executives that have worked with you.
Right.
And then we've had some that, who I won't mention, and you know who I'm thinking about.
I think I do. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Uh-huh.
Who has been, I don't want to say hostile, but had a different approach to deal with county workers. So it was not always cooperative.
Right.
I always think you should be as cooperative as possible. This is a business where we all work for the public. And
right.
We all should work together. But as I said before, I believe that the county should pay a fair wage. And that's why I'm willing to take a look at a salary schedule.
Sure.
To make sure that everyone is justly compensated
right.
for the work that they do.
Yeah, and you know, to have an independent outside, you know, university or you know, a think tank to be able to sit down and pull together the data that both sides can look at and say, okay, this is the reality. This is what we're really looking at.
Well,
I mean, from my perspective, I certainly know what I might think, right? But then how would you know that that's fair? So to have somebody
independent,
you
have it. Stony Brook University,
right.
some other university
mm-hmm.
that specializes in labor relations and employee relations, come in and do this study. I think that would be extremely helpful and a guidepost, particularly
Absolutely.
In a year in which negotiations have to get done.
Right.
Because then you have an independent situation. Look, I'm running for county executive. This campaign, unfortunately, has turned extremely negative, which
right.
is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But putting the negative aside, you look at, well, let's take a look at the bond rating for Brookhaven Town. It's been AAA bond since I got there.
That's what I wanted to get into.
It wasn't when I got there,
it
but
was not.
Right afterwards it became AAA.
Mm-hmm.
We have balanced budgets. We have reserve accounts for everything from snow reserves to landfill closure reserves. Then you look at the state controller's report.
Yeah.
State just issued a report on every municipality in terms of fiscal stress and mm-hmm. environmental stress. Brookhaven Town has zero
None.
Fiscal stress. Zero financial stress. We have the best report card from the state control of any town on Long Island.
Yeah.
And that says something. And then people can go out and run all the commercials you want, say what you want, but there's an independent voice that says, wait a second, that doesn't seem to gel with the facts.
Right.
And what we wanted to do, mm-hmm. should I get elected, is work with the facts.
Yeah.
Not with the perception, but with the reality of the situation, so that we deliver good government services. People feel that there's an investment in their government, that they can get responses. It's transparent, but it's also responsive.
Yes.
That's what people want to be heard. People have problems. People have issues. They want a government that is going to be
real. Yeah. And listen, the best predictor of the future is the past. And we've got years and years, decades of your good work inside of government getting things done. We can point to accomplishments spanning decades, knowing that, you know, you step into this role and you bring with that all that experience, and the proof is there already. We can see it in advance. When we have to make up our minds, who are we voting for one way or the other, there's someone that we know that knows how to do it and can demonstrate that they've done it over years. You know, you talk about the work in the town, but I remember your work in the legislature. I used to take my time and I'd sit at the legislature during, you know, when I was working at DPW and I was representing just the group of folks at DPW I was representing at the time. And I'd come down to those meetings and I'd hear what you guys had to say. And I remember your comments. I remember how you comported yourself and the things that you got done. So it's a great thing to be able to say, one, I have experience, and two, it's been positive. You talk about not having a great bond rating and going to one of the top bond ratings that you could possibly have. Having the comptroller of the state of New York say you have no fiscal stress. I mean, these are big accomplishments, and that really matters in the life of the everyday citizens in Brookhaven. To bring that to all of Suffolk County, I think, is really going to be, like I said, I think the people in this county will all breathe a sigh of relief.
Well, the other thing is, in the town of Brookhaven, which was pretty contentious as a town board before I got there, all that contention went away.
Yeah.
I work with all my town board members, regardless of party. I'm looking to do the same with the legislature. And unlike my opponent, having been on the legislature, I know a little bit about legislators and their needs and wishes. And I am going to make all 18 legislators my partner in government. Yeah. And I'm going to treat them with the respect that they are deserving. And I am going to get things accomplished. Look, when I served in the legislature the second time, I had two different stints in
there. Right.
I was in the minority the entire time. I represented the North Fork, Shelter Island, and Eastern Brookhaven. And one of the biggest things for those people was preservation of open space and farmland.
Yeah.
Even in the minority, I preserved more open space and farmland than the other 17 districts combined. You don't do that if your colleagues don't get along with you, particularly if you're in the minority.
Of course.
So I intend to work very closely with both Democrats and Republicans in the legislature and make sure that we move the goalpost as we have moved it in the town to get great things done.
Yeah.
We're not always going to agree, but on the things that we agree, we're going to move this county forward.
Done. Yeah. Listen, I just want to point out a couple of more things about your history while we're talking about the experience that you have. And these are key things that helped form the decision AME made when we said we wanted to back you. You know, we looked at a ton of factors, and, you know, it was a very exhaustive process. We wanted to get it right. And one, you're an educator, right? You taught, and it shows in the way you comport yourself, the way you talk to people, and you're always making sure that everybody understands what the issue is, where things have to be moved, how things get done. And I think that that natural ability that you had has translated to everything else that you've done. And then let's not forget the fact that you're county clerk and you have an understanding of some of the money that kind of moves around inside of government, what comes in from the outside.
16
what's
years.
Yeah, right.
16 years.
These are all very big things that really prepare someone to take on a tremendous job. There's much to be done, and
we're going to need the right people. Many of the people that are in county government now are going to stay because they have expertise.
Yeah.
I'm looking for people, not so much for their political affiliation as much as their ability to get things done to work. I need people like that. There are going to be some people that will have to be changed out because it's a change of administration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But many of the people are going to stay. I need a government that works, that runs. That's my biggest concern, is to make sure that this government is far more efficient, running better, serving the people of Suffolk County. And that's job number one for me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I have a saying that you're probably not going to like, but it's not about you. It's just about, you know, employers in certain difficult situations. And the phrase goes, and anybody out there listening right now that has a job, you might have heard this phrase before, but the beatings will continue until morale improves. This doesn't work, right? You know, and I'm not suggesting.
That doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that the Brookhaven Town Board is not contentious, regardless of political affiliations, because we all work together.
Right.
We don't rip each other apart. We don't go at each other. We sit down and we work things out. And that's the way government should be. I would look at what's happening in Washington and I shake my head.
Yeah.
I visited the Longwood School District yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I guess, a day for elected officials to visit class. They had me teach three different classes. He was with me. And I would ask the kids, I said, you know, God forbid our president passes away or vice president, who is third in line for succession? The Speaker of the House. I said, who's the Speaker? And of course, I called on someone. He says, I don't know. I said, you're right.
Nobody
does. We don't have a Speaker.
Nobody does.
And when I look at Washington, I shake my head. We can't have dysfunction in government.
Right.
We provide too many vital services to so many people that depend on it. Look, during the pandemic, I had to lead this town during the pandemic.
Sure.
And it was very disappointing, because we were looking for federal aid, but we need a minimum of $500,000. We had 494,000, and we got no aid. But we had to think about who was going to be affected. The person I thought about most is that senior citizen that was homebound.
Absolutely.
We started to provide 550 meals, hot meals,
a
day, set up a delivery system that every senior that was homebound got a hot meal every day. And then weekends, we had frozen meals that they'd have to nuke. And they were delivered for the entire pandemic because I knew what it would mean.
Right.
And one of the worst things for seniors that are homebound,
mm-hmm.
loneliness.
Yep.
and not having anyone care. We would have people go to all of their doors. Took a little time, and organized it, and we're still doing it, by the way, to this day, we're doing it. Many of the lessons that we learned during the pandemic, we continue to work at because it taught us how to connect with our people.
Right. Yeah, and listen, I mean, that's a very vulnerable population. And to move beyond the mandate of government, to understand the purpose of government and not wait for Washington or Albany to tell you what you need to do and understand this is what people need and go out and do. I mean, this has been demonstrated throughout your career. This is the leadership that I think Suffolk County needs.
Well, I want to work with everyone I possibly can. But having said that, I don't want to have the dysfunction that sometimes I see in Washington. And occasionally in Albany, I think locally, I have a very simple statement. I'm for Long Island, first, last, and always.
Yeah.
So before party, before anything, I'm for this island and the people that live in. We're in competition with the rest of the world. We have a lot of problems that should be resolved regionally.
Right.
Like solid waste.
Yep.
We should have a regional solid waste program where the county works with the towns and villages and we work together. Look, as Brookhaven Town supervisor, we went in and got the only $20 million consolidation and efficiency grant where we work and we use ours to help our villages, our library districts, our school districts, our fire districts on a whole host of things, from storing records to doing a whole host of things that we do where we look for efficiencies and we look to consolidate.
Shared services. I mean, really.
Shared services is the word.
Procurement is an aspect of it. It's something that people could easily understand. If everybody needs a new car and if everybody all gets together at the same time and say, listen, instead of getting one car, we're going to get 100 cars. You're going to get 100 cars for less than you would get 100 individual cars. So that's one aspect of it. But there are things that, that county government does very well that could help the towns. And the towns maybe would go to an outside contractor, a for-profit contractor, and say, hey, can you pave this road for us for, you know, and then you go through the bidding process and everything else. You deal with whatever, you know, internally you have to. But to have government be able to ask government to provide those services, the taxpayer benefits. You get a better product. You get it for less cost, and it lasts longer.
I am 1,000% in favor of that. Whatever we can do to make government more efficient, to share services, because in my view, we have, unlike other areas of the county, we have a lot of local government, and sometimes that's inefficient. So if we work together, we can improve efficiencies, reduce costs, and make things happen, and that's critical. That's what we do with the shared service grant that we got from the state. The only one we competed against other counties and towns. One grant was given. It was given to Brookhaven Town.
Right.
We had the best program to do that. And we are doing that each and every day. I'm going to take that wisdom that I've learned from doing that and apply it to the county government, where county government can work with the towns and villages. We have 10 towns. I know all the supervisors, having been supervisor for a long time.
Sure.
I know of the 31 villages, and we are going to work together. And then at some point, I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive to Mineola and say hello to Bruce Blakeman, the county executive of Nassau County, and I'm going to say, what can we do for Long Island?
Right.
Look, if it was up to me, Long Island would be a separate state.
Yeah.
But it's not. So we have to work within the confines of what we have.
Yes.
But I think consolidation, shared services, doing things of that nature makes so much sense. And who better to help the towns with an issue like solid waste?
Mm-hmm.
Who better than sewers?
Right.
Than the county of Suffolk?
Right.
Who better than the county of Suffolk to deal with some of the dredging needs that we have?
Absolutely.
And you know what they've done with dredging. Mm-hmm. We used to have two dredges.
Yeah.
The big one and the small one. And then we sold them.
Yeah.
And the guy that we sold it to is then now charges us probably more than the county would have cost to do the dredging.
Right.
So I know these things.
Yes.
Because I've lived it. And you've got to learn from the lessons. And some people say, well, I've been in government a long time. But you know what?
Yeah.
You learn lessons. You learn lessons by watching things. And you have the benefit of watching it play out over a number of years. And you can see how it turns out. Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
I remember when we sold the dredge, too.
Yeah.
which I oppose.
I mean, there's a host of opportunities, you know. I mean, just throwing out as a concept, special highway district, you know, a county being able to maintain certain roads that the towns don't necessarily have to. I mean, there's tons of opportunities to talk about. And that's the beauty. You know, like, again, I just want to, in closing, I just want to recap, you know, you came up as an educator. You got involved in the legislature, the county clerk, town supervisor, largest town in Suffolk County. And, you know, moving from what wasn't a perfect bond rating to a AAA, having no fiscal distress, as noted by the Comptroller of the State of New York. I mean, these are all amazing things. And Supervisor Romaine, I really appreciate you coming down and speaking with us this morning. And best of luck. We're a few days away, and really, really looking forward to working together.
Well, thank you. I hope I have the good fortune to be elected, and I look forward to working with all the county workers. They are my colleagues. They are the ones that are going to make us look good. They are the ones that the public is depending on. And I know we have tremendous workers for the county that have the right outlook. And I hope I have the opportunity to work with you members.
Yeah, we have some great workers doing great things. And we're going to do great things together. So to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.